The reason that we're going to spend the year gathering to talk about Shabbos is because of this Sefer, which was gifted to me by none other than the couple who is on your screen here. It says, B'yedidus Devora U'michol Nussbaum, which is a book that I cherish, been given to me as a gift. This book, this Sefer, I was not familiar with this Sefer until Mr. Nussbaum gave it to me as a gift. It's called The Concise Code of Jewish Law. The author of this Sefer is Harav Gershon Appel. Now, I never knew Rav Gershon Appel, but I actually had the opportunity to get to know him the more I heard about him from the Nussbaums. And then after Mrs. Nussbaum passed away, so there was a lot of discussion. Rav Michael Sheyichia was talking a lot about what it meant to go in there, be part of their family and be in their home and go and meet that. And I was unaware of this whole world of Rabbi Appel and the Sefer and the learning. And I thought it would be really a special opportunity for us to spend the year, if we're learning Le'ilui Nishmas, Mrs. Nussbaum's memory, to be able to learn her father's Sefer and to take some of these themes to come back to them every month. So that's going to be our goal. And tonight we're going to introduce the Sefer, but also introduce the basic concepts which are being addressed. The book is called The Concise Code of Jewish Law, and this particular Sefer, I believe he has two different volumes. This one is devoted, A Guide to the Observance of Shabbos. And it was recently republished, you'll check an introduction, it was recently published together with the OU Press and YU Press. And so Rabbi Appel, Zichrono Livracha, the way he begins this book, which as you could see from the sides, it's a massive work. It's basically like an updated, what he calls in the Hakdama, an updated edition of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right? Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was a traditional volume that was used by people to know how to observe Shabbos. But Rabbi Appel says, he says, well, what about in the decades since the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was published? How do we incorporate new Svarim and new circumstances? So Rabbi Appel basically took the concept of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and he organized this whole Sefer based on the Malachos of Shabbos. It's interesting, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, the Heilige Rabbi Chil Michel of Nevardik, in his classic work in Halacha called Aruch HaShulchan, he points out that the Shulchan Aruch, he didn't really do us a big favor, because when you learn Shulchan Aruch and the laws of Shabbos, which is what we're actually doing in the Kolo this year, in Afternoon Seder, the Shulchan Aruch is very difficult because it's not organized topically. But what the Chayyadim and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Rabbi Appel did is that they organized their Sefer according to the Malacha. So if you want to know a contemporary application of the laws of, you know, shearing, gozes, I don't know if Lincoln would, I think in the village of Skokie you're not allowed to have domesticated animals in the backyard, but maybe in Lincolnwood, it's very suburban down there, maybe it's allowed. If you have a shayla of gozes, which sometimes comes up actually with cutting nails, so you find the chapter in the Sefer organized according to the topic. And then after he deals with malachos, he deals with all kinds of other laws, like the laws of muktzah, the laws of eruvin. And then in the back, he has tons of footnotes. The Sefer has like a whole section of Hebrew footnotes. So it's very much like, if you want to use the Sefer at home, it's like a mashup between the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and the English edition of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas, or the Hebrew edition. So you have footnotes in the back, and then you have the main text in the middle with small footnotes at the bottom. So it's a very clear and concise Sefer. And for us who observe Shabbos every single week, reviewing the laws of Shabbos, the principles of Shabbos, is beautiful and meaningful because Shabbos is so precious to us. The Gemara says that Shabbos is matana tova. It is a gift that is a gift of goodness. That the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Matana Tova Yeshli Beveis Genozai. I have in my treasure house a Matana Tova, a beautiful gift for Shabbos Shema, and it's called Shabbos. So to go back to that gift and learn it again, it's actually a gift for us. It's an opportunity. It's a special thing, because sometimes, because we've done Shabbos for so long, maybe we've gotten into the habit of Shabbos. We just do Shabbos. And maybe the value of having a Sefer and a Limud to come together every month to learn and to study and to appreciate Shabbos will reinforce that beauty and that significance. You know, it was discussed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nivra Dvaro. It was discussed in the tent, L'chaim, L'chaim, down the block and the Pinchot home, another good tea. It was discussed in the Shiva how Shabbos was such an integral part, and it is such an integral part of the Nussbaum home, about how the preparations for Shabbos, how Mr. Nussbaum would make sure to be home for Shabbos, whatever that required from various travel arrangements or walking chves numbers of miles. Because Shabbos, they understood, is a matana tova. It is a great gift, and it's something we need to appreciate it. So the question is why? Let's start with a small observation of why is Shabbos referred to as a matana tova? Why is Shabbos so precious? Why is it that the Gemara says in the beginning of Chulin that a person who, God forbid, abrogates Shabbos, so then they basically lost sight of all of their Yiddishkeit? So perhaps it's because Shabbos is a singular opportunity to focus on a connection with God. It's alone time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is discussed in another Sefer, beautiful Sefer on Shabbos, which I don't know if it's translated into English, but it's authored by a man by the name of Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Rav Pinkus was a popular teacher and melamed and Rav in Israel in Ofakim, but about 30 years ago he passed away in a terrible car accident, lo aleinu. So Rav Pinkus has a small Sefer that my brother gave me as a gift years ago that I cherish. It's called Shabbos Malkasa, and it's all about the themes of Shabbos. It's not about halacha, it's about the themes. And he points out that whereas other mitzvos, we do those mitzvos with our hands or our ears, like Shmias Kol Shofar or eating matzah, Shabbos, there is no particular mitzvah that we do with an aspect of our body. It's an all-encompassing experience. It's all about being in the moment, connecting directly with Hashem, of being quiet with our neshama. And in that respect, it is a unique mitzvah. It's not that we do something to connect with God. Just by being in this space, we are connecting with God. Taking those moments to sit outside on the back deck and look up at the Ribbono Shel Olam and just be, that is the experience of Shabbos. We all of our lives, we all want to be a little higher. We want to be in touch with our neshama more. So Shabbos is that gift. What's the matana tova yeshli beveis ganazai? So the Gemara says in Brachas that we have a neshama yesera. We have an added spiritual, a ruchnias dika dimension, and that raises us up. And that's why when we, those of us who appreciate what is the gift of Shabbos, when we celebrate Shabbos, we feel how good it is. We feel the Onik Shabbos. Nobody has to give us a shiur or a lecture. I saw once an amazing Maisa. You know, Shlomo Karlbach, he had for a period of time a shul in Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco called the House of Love and Prayer. This is before my time. I don't know exactly what was going on in this tekufa in the world, but apparently a lot of vild things were going on in those years. Just saying. So he has this place, people would come, the House of Love and Prayer. So you had all kinds of hippies and people, and who knows what was going on over there. It was the 60s. So Shlomo Karlbach tells a story that there was a guy, his name was Timothy Leary. Tim Leary was a famous non-Jewish psychologist, American psychologist. He was spent a period of time, he got his PhD in Berkeley, and then he was in Harvard. But his big thing, and I'm not going to ask people to nod on the screen if they remember this guy or if they were ever involved in any of his inyanim, but apparently his big thing, if you go on his Wikipedia page for whatever that's worth, psychedelic, and I see that Joey Nussbaum, Shiyachia, is on here with some younger people, so we're going to just be merames that he was into various, oh, he's on the earphones, even better, psychedelic drugs, psychedelic things. The first letters in Lakeshore Drive, without being Marich, was one of his big things. So this guy's going around, he's lecturing on the values of people getting high, crazy, crazy things. He ends up in San Francisco, and he ends up in Shlomo Karlbach's shul on a Friday night. He ends up in the House of Love and Prayer. And apparently, they were in touch. When he would come to lecture in New York, he would stop by the Karlbach shul. Anyway, don't ask too many kashas on this, Maisa. So he comes over to Shlomo Karlbach Friday night after davening, and he says, you know, I really am jealous of you people. Because here I am, I'm spending my whole week, my whole life, my whole everything, tripping and trying to get high. Okay, But you people, you have something that's so high, you don't even need to take psychedelic drugs. You have an experience right here on Friday night with people coming together, being together, they're praying, they're singing, they're just being in the moment. He's like, it's amazing what you folks have here. He says, it's even greater. It's a bigger high, what you have here, than what I'm, you know, pitching out there on the streets of San Francisco. It's a matana tova. It's such a high because we have that opportunity to connect with the Rabbono Shel Olam in a deep way. So the way to introduce this matana tova, this high, this geshmak, how beautiful, how awesome it is, how we wouldn't want to miss it, what Rabbi Appel does is he starts with four nekudos from the Rambam. Because the Rambam outlines for us in Perek Lamed, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam outlines for us what are the four core elements of Shabbos. Arba Dvarim, four things, Nemru B'Shabbos. There are four basic elements of Shabbos. What makes Shabbos so amazing? What makes it that Matana Tova? Shnayim in HaTorah, two of them are biblical, Ushnayim B'Divrei Sofrim, and two of them are midivrei sofrim, which means they are rooted in the Torah, but they are really principles of the oral tradition. And the Rambam says, "Vehim mifurashin al yedei hanaviyin," and they are explicated by the prophets. What are those four ingredients? And that's what we're going to focus on tonight in the few moments that we have. Shabbat Torah is called Zohar v'Shomor. Vishinisparshu al yedei hanaviyim, those that were explicated through the prophets. Those are kavod. V'oneg. How do we know that? Shenema, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'karasa l'shabbos oneg, V'lekdosh Hashem mechubad. These are the four nekudos, the four principles of Shabbos. Zohar v'shamor, those appear in the Aseres HaDibros. So Zohar the first time around in Parshas Yisro, Shomor the second time around in Parshas Voeschanan, and then Shenisparshu, the Divrei Sofrim that was Nisparsha on the name of Vim is Zohar v'Shomer. Let's talk about each one of these four ingredients to appreciate the Shabbos. Zohar. So we mentioned that the idea of Shabbos is being, is having just that special time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If somebody were to ask you, in what way do we experience Zohar? How do we fulfill, as the Rambam points out, a mitzvah d'oraisa of Zohar? Let me see. Is anybody muted? When everyone is muted, the question is, can you unmute yourselves? I think you can. So I don't know if I'm going to go down the participants list, Alyssa Veres, maybe we should, Ethan, I don't know who we should call on. Maybe we'll give everybody an opportunity if somebody wants to unmute themselves. And Rami, you may have to save them. Whoever else is on this, they don't want to volunteer, and you're not shy, thank God. Where do you find, what is the mitzvah of, oh, yes, Joey Nussbaum? I don't know if that was Kiddush for Rosh Hashanah. Whatever that was, it was perfect. Yes. Bori Piragofen, yes. That was excellent. Kiddush on Shabbos, the Rambam says, Zachreya, when we say the word Zachor, to remember, actually the Rambam says, Torah Shebaal Peh means Lahazkir, means to mention. So you need to verbalize Kiddush, and the Rambam's opinion is that also Havdalah is the kiyum of the mitzvah of Zachor. On Shabbos, Zachor constitutes bookends of Kiddush on the front end and Havdalah on the back end. But isn't that interesting for a second? According to the Rambam Shita, by the way, you can recite Kiddush actually before the onset of Shabbos. Friday afternoon, you could theoretically recite Kiddush. So if someone were to ask you, what is the proactive mitzvah on Shabbos? You would say, oh, it says Zohar. Zohar Sima Shabbos Akadosho. So how is that expressed? Okay, you'll say, well, maybe it's a mitzvah during the week to say Hayom Yom, such and such. Well, how is it expressed on Shabbos? Oh, on Shabbos, you make Kiddush. You say Havdalah. But that's before Shabbos. That's after Shabbos. But maybe that's exactly the point. That the zechira, the frame, is what's important. You don't do anything on Shabbos. We spend a whole week putting on tefillin. Shabbos, we paskins, lav zman tefillin. We spend a whole week building, whether that's physically building or spiritually building, all the sheishas mehamasa, all the things that we do. On Shabbos, we say, don't do anything, just be. So the zechira lizkor means to have a mindset. Shabbos is about being mindfulness of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we have a neshama, that our life has meaning, that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects something to us, to be in the moment. This is an interesting halacha, which I don't think is very well known. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, Ramosha Isserles in his comments in Reish Ayin Aleph in Sif Yud, how about this? Ubishas HaKiddush, at the time of Kiddush, what should you do? Kishemaschil, when you begin Kiddush, you hold the cup Friday night. Yitain Einov B'Neiros. The first thing you do when you start Kiddush, let's say in our house, the Neiros are in the living room. The Kiddush is in the dining room, but I can see it. So I pick up the cup. First thing we do, you glance briefly at the Neiros. Then the Rama says, Ubishas HaKiddush, but when you're reciting Kiddush, Bekos Shel Bracha, you look at the kos. V'chein Nirali, and that's what I think is the proper approach. Mr. Brewer says most people are not makbid on this, but that's what it says in the Rama. When you start Kiddush, you look at the candles, then you look at the cup. That's the din. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. What's the pshat in this din? Zohar is a din of thinking, of remembering, of being mindful. So perhaps you know what the Rama is telling us? He says, look at the Kedusha. Focus. Start with the Neiros and look at the Kos Shel Bracha. Lean into the mitzvah. Realize what you're doing. To be Mekadesh something, to sanctify the time, to realize that it's special, we need Zachary, we need to lean in mindfully. We need to put our minds there and therefore we need to look there. The fact that the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama is telling us, look at the candles, look at the coast. I think what he's saying is, pay attention. It's such a beautiful fit, because you know that the Gemara says, a very interesting Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Brachos says that when a person takes a psia gasa, if you take a large step, a big step during the week, it takes away 1/500th of your vision. And when does it come back? On Friday night during Kiddush. It's a very interesting Gemara. Rav Kook in the Ein Hayah has a phenomenal explanation. A little takeoff on that. Rav Kook explains, he says that some people, they take big steps. Some of us have very long legs. If you take very long strides, you pass over a lot of things. Rav Kook says during the week, if a person takes a psia gasa, it means they're living their life not in the moment. They're always jumping to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. We know people like this. They're never living in the here and now. They're on vacation. They're on their phone planning the next vacation. You know what I'm talking about? You know? They're in the office, but they're already cheshbening what they're going to do tomorrow in the office. They're out at the restaurant, but they're cheshbening, well, next time when I go to the next restaurant, Rav Kook says in his brilliant, creative way, that's called psiagasa, people who can't live in the moment. They're always jumping to the next thing. But based on this Rama, what happens on Friday night when you look in the Kiddush cup? You just say, I am in the here and now. The Ribbono Shel Olam is here. I am here. That's all I need. Look at the cup. Look at the Kiddush. Be Mekadesh. Sanctify the time means forget about what was, what will be, what's going to be. Zachor, just remember there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. My chavrusa, my chaver, Rav Menachem Linzer Shlita, he sent me an email tonight with a quote from Rav Amital. He's always giving me awesome insights from Rav Amital. Rav Amital apparently said, I don't know anything about Bereshis. I don't know anything about what it means tohu. I don't know what it means vo. I don't know what it means. I don't know anything. All I know is that God created everything. So true. So true. Zachreu means Zachor es Yom HaShabbos HaKadosho. Remember, this is time just between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lean into the coast. Look at the candles. Realize the opportunity. And why? Because this relates to the second element. Because of Shomor. Shomor means stop doing. Stop doing. Why? Because, like A.B. Rottenberg said in the Journey song all those years ago, because all your work is done, right? The idea that on Shabbos we desist from 39x, it's not Stam 39 Melachos. It's Meleches, which is Machsheves, means creative work. We think a whole week that we do, and we do on some level accomplish things. We need to build. We need to become. That's Sheishes Yemei HaMaaseh. That's what Ribono Shel Olam says, Sheishes Yamim Tavod. We're supposed to work. We're supposed to build. We're supposed to develop society. But ultimately, for what purpose? And who builds everything? The Ribono Shel Olam. So when we have this quiet space that has been demarcated by Zohar, Zohar means clear out, leave space for quiet, for mindfulness, for spirituality. Shamor says the way to do that in the moment is to stop building, to stop creating. There's no need for you to create because we realize that ultimately the Ribono Shel Olam is the source of all those creations. And that's why the categories of work, which are elucidated in the volume that that Rabbi Pell goes through one at a time, is Dafka, the Yemei HaMaaseh, the things that are creative. That's exactly what we are restricted from doing. Technically speaking, golf is it's an activity, but it's not a malacha. The reason we don't golf on Shabbos is not because it's a violation of Shamor, it's a violation of Zohar. It's not creating sanctified space. Shamor means thinking that I'm building, I'm doing, I'm constructing. And that's why, so you'll see, there's Sidur HaDepas, the 11 steps in making bread, and then there's making clothing, and then there's building a house. Whatever we're going to learn this year about building and doing and creating, it's all to remind us that ultimately the Ribono Shel Olam is the full, is the creator. That's why we stop, because we recognize that he is the creator. So that's Zohar and Shamor al Regalachas. What about the two different Sofrim, Kavod va'Onig? So there are two different Maharals, phenomenal from Maharals, that relate to this concept of Kavod and Oneg. Kavod, the Rambam talks about incentivizing. I know in different people's homes, there are different approaches to incentives for children. In our home, we are hyper-incentivizers. So our kids have Siyums for this perek of this, and we go to Dunkin' Donuts from that. I don't know how much of my salary has gone to Dunkin' Donuts over the last number of years, but you know, that's why you have money, to make Siyums at Dunkin' Donuts. It's the best. Every time you have an accomplishment, it's, you know, there's the mini Siyum, then there's the mega Siyum, then there's the ultra mega Siyum. That's why the iPod was created, for the big mega Siyum. We're very into incentivizing. The Rambam says, in those days, you know how they would incentivize people? Kloyos ve'egozim. They would give kids nuts. First of all, today, nobody wants nuts around. We're allergic. This one's allergic. That kid's allergic, so there's no nuts. You can't incentivize with nuts anymore. That's gone. Kloyos ve'egozim is out. Besides, if I tried to give my kids nuts as an incentive, they would say, it's not Dunkin' Donuts. It's certainly not Dairy Star. So that doesn't work. What does work? All kinds of shtiklach. But the Rambam says, you know what happens? You know you incentivize people when they get older? Not so much with nuts or Dunkin' Donuts. You incentivize them with kavod. Why with kavod? Because kavod, as we get older, is something that we appreciate, but it's not so physical. It takes, you know, you take a four-year-old and you say, you know what? We're going to put you on the stage and we're going to give you a lot of honor. So the four-year-olds, they don't get so excited about that. The eight-year-olds, they get a little more excited about that. The 19-year-olds, we said, we're going to put some kind of Harry Potter outfit on you and walk you on a stage. They're like, woo, when you're 19, that's mamish really big. And then when you're 27 and they give you a hood, it's even better. You know what I'm talking about? Kavod, as you get older, why? Because adults, we are more sophisticated and we understand that there's something that's even more noble that's we appreciate more than the physical, than a sandwich or a trip to Dairy Star, which is still good. We love Dairy Star, but there's something even more. Kavod is a spiritual reward. And as we get older, it speaks to us in a more mature way. What you can't bribe somebody for with a hamburger, you oftentimes can bribe them with kavod. It's a much more sophisticated type of reward. It's a much higher level. It appeals at least to the ruach, to the intellect or to the emotion, rather than the guf, the base and the physical. So the Maharal says, you know why Kavod is associated with Shabbos? Because Kavod Shabbos means we need to give Shabbos Kavod because Shabbos has a spiritual dimension. Anything which has a spiritual quality to it, we attach a spiritual identification, and that is honor. Why do you honor people, the Maharal says, who are older than us, who are wiser than us? Oftentimes, those people have less hair than us. Oftentimes, those people have, you know, they're shorter than us. Sometimes they get shorter as the years go on. Why do we stand up and give kavod for people who are older than us? Because it's not that they are physically greater than we are, it's because they are spiritually greater. You give kavod because of the spiritual dimension of the person, because of the wisdom, because of the years of life experience. Life experience is not physical, it's a spiritual component. It's a psychological, emotional aspect of the person. So when we see an elderly person, we say, wow, that person has more ruchnius than I do. So I need to be mechabed them. So mipnei seva takum. So I stand out of deference to that person's ruchnius, not to their gashmius. Right? Some of you know, I had the great schus for years to push Nechama's Saba, Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zichron Levracha, in the wheelchair, right? That was one of my special jobs, Pesach and other times. Rabbi Pelkovitz was at least 3 feet shorter than I was. And I couldn't even see, like, the top of his hat. That's how, but I looked up to him. Why? Because he was a Zokain. He was a man who was Kana Chachma with years of learning and wisdom. It wasn't from his physical strength. I sometimes would literally pick him up in a chair. But v'hadarta p'nei zokein, because you give kavod to ruchnius. Kavod is appropriate to ruchnius. So says the Maharal, that's why there's a din of kavod Shabbos. V'chibarto, because Shabbos is a spiritual time. Wherever you find spirituality, says the Maharal, you find kavod. That's why we're mechabed our elders. Why were you mechabed Mrs. Nussbaum Aleha Shalom? Because of her ruchnius. Because of her midos, because of her life experience, because of her personality, because of what she represented from an ethical, from a moral standpoint, not because of her physical stature. Many of her grandchildren were taller than her and stronger than her. Maybe not stronger. Okay, she was a very strong lady. But the kavod comes from the ruchnius. So that's why the Maharal says that kavod applies to Shabbos. What about oneg? Oh, he says, Onik also applies to Shabbos. Shabbos, we're saying, is the time of Ruchnius, of the time of our neshama. Well, guess what? A neshama, a soul, has no boundaries. Only a guf, this the Maharal explains elsewhere, only a guf, only something physical, has limitations. So the guf has a limit. My fingers end here, my head ends here, my body has a particular space, but not my neshama. My neshama is a chelek elokami mal. That transcends all boundaries. That's why the Gemara says in Shabbos, kol ha-me'aneg es ha-Shabbos, if you have oneg Shabbos, nosnino nachala b'li mitzorim. That person gets a nachala, a portion that is b'li mitzorim, without limitations. The oneg that we experience on Shabbos, that geschmack feeling of, oh, it's so good to be a Jew, it's so good to have an neshama, it's so good to go to daven, that good feeling, that's because we're not constricted. Mitzarim, Mitzar, Mitzrayim, that means we're nailed down. If we define ourselves physically, then how tall are we? 5 feet, 6 feet, 6'3". How big are we? But if we define ourselves by our neshama, Shabbos is the zman of the neshama, it's the zman that we're not mukbal. There's no limit. If we're talking about neshamas, so neshamas, they exist in that world, they exist in this world. You can connect to that neshama of somebody who passed on to the other world. Maybe that's why the Gemara has a tradition that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, after he passed away, do you know when he would reappear in the world until people found out? He reappeared in the world to make Kiddush Friday night in his house. How could it be? How could a neshama come from the other world to make Kiddush in this world? Well, because if Shabbos is the time of the neshama, so then the neshamas can feel comfortable. They come here, they come there. That's maybe why that we have a tradition that in the other world, neshamas don't exist in Gan Eden, in Gehenna on Shabbos. On Shabbos, all the neshamas come to celebrate Shabbos. Shabbos is the time of the neshama, and that's why the Maharal says it's a time of oneg. That's why we have a neshama yesera. We expand our neshama. There's no mitzarim. So we have Zohar creating that sacred space, demarcating it with the herald of Kiddush. We have Shamar of not doing, of not creating, of ceasing, because recognizing that it's the neshama that is resting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who creates all. It's Kavod, which is associated with recognizing, honoring the spiritual nature of something, of Shabbos in this case, and it's Oneg. Kavod Shabbos usually takes place, this is the name of the Gra, before Shabbos. Let's say bathing for Shabbos, setting the table for Shabbos, getting the candles set for Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is the enjoyment that we experience on Shabbos. So we have Zohar, Shamar, Kavod, Oneg. I want to end with one specific point, which I thought was a beautiful duality that Rabbi Appel captures in this amazing phrase on page L. Shabbos, he calls universal in its message, singular in its observance. On the one hand, Shabbos is universal. On the other hand, it's singular, it's exclusive. What does he mean? So he explains. On the one hand, we say that Shabbos is Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis. Shabbos is a commemoration of the Ribono Shel Olam creating the world. And that world belongs to everyone. It belongs to all of humanity. On the other hand, we say that Shabbos is Zecher L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. It reminds us of Yitzias Mitzrayim, of the unique bond, the journey that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's two halves, two components of Shabbos that need to be kept together. On the one hand, why did Ribono Shel Olam rest on Shabbos? So Rav Pinkus points out an interesting ha'ara. If someone were to ask you to memorialize, to remember that God created the world in 6 days in the story of creation, so wouldn't you create that memorial on Sunday, the beginning of creation? Why do you commemorate it when God stopped creating? You ever think about that? Oh, you remember God created the world when he stopped creating. What's the pshat? Why are you remembering it when he stopped? Remember it when he created it. So Rav Pinkus develops the notion that, remember, nobody was there at the beginning of creation. Aristotelian philosopher believes, they believe, in the eternity of matter. This is one of the Rambam's big beefs with Aristotle. Aristotle believes in the eternity of matter. But wait a second. If matter is eternal, it means it has no beginning and no end point. Shabbos says there is an end point of creation. By teaching us that there is an end point, that means that we don't believe in Aristotle. We don't believe in the eternity of the world of matter. We believe that God puts an end, and therefore he also put a beginning. It's an interesting point. In what way do we remember that God created the world? By the fact that God stopped the creation, and that means that he owns it. He began it and he finished it. So on the one hand, there is a universal dimension of Shabbos that says to all human beings, there is a God, there is meaning, there is purpose. On the other hand, and this is perhaps why something we have a special geshmak, that matana tova, something within us resonates with Shabbos. The Gemara says, Goy Shabbos Chayav Misa, it's exclusive to the Jewish people, because Hashem wants us to feel that special connection on Shabbos, to feel that chosenness. It doesn't mean that other people don't matter, but it means that we have a special calling which is expressed on Shabbos. And that I know that probably several people on this call have experienced this in one time or another, who are, you know, in my line of work, I work on Shabbos, but not in the way that most people think about working on Shabbos. Most people, when you have to tell somebody you work on Shabbos, you can ask Mr. Nussbaum. He described this scenario in various business interactions with people. You have to make a statement. You have to make a statement that for the next 25 hours, I am not accessible. I am not available because I have a priority. I have a meeting. I have a time which is designated just for my spiritual side, the aspect of my life which is kulo ruchni, which is neshama yesera. And that is it's an exclusive event. It's not an open calendar invite. We have to stop everything else which is going on. And because we have to make that big statement, it means a lot. And that's why a person who observes Shabbos, that's like the equivalent of Kol HaTorah Kula. Because by stating, I'm going to put my entire life on hold, my career on hold, my social media on hold, I am stating that ultimately, it's just me and you, the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's just this time is us. And that, in that respect, sometimes it's beautiful to have that with a big family and everybody together celebrating Shabbos together. And sometimes it's beautiful to retreat to a quiet spot on a chair where you're sitting down next to a window and thinking, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's just me and you. Just me and you. It doesn't matter who else is there. That's the Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim. The Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim means we have this special, unique, singular bond. As Rabbi Appel put it so beautifully, Shabbos is universal in its message. Everybody needs to know that there is a God. There is a moral high ground. There is a vision, but at the same time, singular in our observance. The way that we are going to observe the laws of Shabbos, that he goes through all the details, these details are meant to express the deep connection that we have, that love, that special bond. The same way that if you send somebody a greeting card and it was written by somebody in, you know, Cleveland, Ohio for American greetings that you never read and it arrived at their house with flowers that you never chose, it doesn't mean the same thing as picking out the language in that card. The details, the love is in the details. So the Shmir Shabbos, the Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, that's going to be felt just by us, those who are Meshamer Shabbos Kadosh Meichal Olam. So with these themes in mind, we can really begin the journey. So to summarize, we talked about how Shabbos is a Matana Tova because it's our time of Neshama with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so it's Zocher V'Shomer Kovod V'Oneg in the frame of being both Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishis, a perpetual memorial. It's reminding us always of the fact that there is one God for everyone, but at the same time, it's also a memorial that reminds us of our special bond, of that journey that we began when Hashem took us out of Egypt. Atav achartanu mikol ha'amim, you chose us, and there's nothing greater, there's no greater matana tova than that realization that God cares about each one of us in this unique way. Thank you all for joining. Neshama should have an aliyah from Moras Devorah Basra of Gershon. Looking forward to continuing the series.